Hello and welcome to the Designated Report Wrestling Podcast, episode 13, season 2. We are the Horsemen. I am with my guy, Khalib. How are you feeling this week?
I'm feeling good. We are the two. The show will be taken over by the Hills. So if you don't like that, hey, ain't nothing I can do about it. Ain't nothing Corey can do about it.
It's gonna be real stuff right now. Real stuff. No sugarcoating today.
No. It will not be any sugarcoating. It will not be any funnel cakes going on with the powdered sugar on top of it. It's not happening today.
Not today, brother. So let's start with, I think, one of the biggest things of the week. Daniel Bryan losing to Roman Reigns. So it was the quote unquote career versus the belt. And Roman Reigns choked him out.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I like how you said the quote-unquote career, because it's really, you know, what it is basically if they lose the match, he has to leave SmackDown, which means that he can go to NXT or Raw or any one of those. So it's not really a career ending, but, you know. That they have to put it like that. They have to make it bigger than the match, bigger than it really is. I thought it was interesting. It's an easy way to get Daniel Bryan off of SmackDown without you having to make an excuse, like, you know, because these drafts come every once in a generation, it seems like now. So it's an easy way to get him off the show. I think he wants to transition to maybe a producer, or I think he wants to go on another show, on the Raw, maybe. Why do they want to do that? I don't know. Maybe he just wants to work on Mondays. I don't know. You know, it probably something silly like that. But in terms of the match itself, I thought it was a pretty good match. I know I always complain about this, so it ain't no reason for me to stop complaining now. I thought it was a little too long. But other than that, I enjoyed the match, and I liked the way he set it up, and of course, Roman has to win this match, and he does it with his chokeout move, which, here's the thing about his chokeout move. It's a good move, right? But it's kind of a move that gives people an easy out in terms of loss, because it's like he chokes you out. Like, he don't tap out. He chokes you out.
It's like a guillotine. Like
yeah. But it's easy to play up that whole, well, he didn't tap me out. I just passed out. Even though I think that's worse, but, you know.
Listen, I said this time and time and time again. First off, the match was good. Yeah. But when I know who's already going to win the match, when you made Daniel Bryan a loser for the past couple of months, I can't recall a match that he won. Like, what match has he won recently? Like, besides, like, a Jey Uso. Like, everything else, he's lost. He's lost to Cesaro. He's lost to Shinsuke Nakamura. Remember that guy? Whatever happened to Shinsuke? So he lost to so many people. You got stacked up on the bottom on WrestleMania, the biggest stage of them all. So you're on the bottom and you lose. And then you get another title shot and you lose. So to me, his career right now in the tail end, I consider him a loser. Is he a good wrestler? Technically, of course, he's like one of the best wrestlers of all time. But yeah, I mean, but when you lose all the time and you're saying that, oh, I'm trying to put people over, you're not pulling anybody over when you lose every single match.
Yeah, that's not the definition of putting somebody over. Putting somebody over is you're a big guy in the business and then you lose to somebody. Like, that's putting somebody over.
I forgot about that. The first match they fought with Jey Uso, he lost that match.
I was just about to say, didn't he lose a match to Jey Uso? I was just thinking that too. You're right. He's losing all the time and he's not putting. But like I said, I think this is kind of WWE's way of trying to get around logic in terms of just putting him on another show. But it has to be logical. And the only logical thing they could think of was, why do we have it as a career, SmackDown career ending? Like, who cares?
If your career... I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Where does he go?
I heard, you know, if you want to believe the Dirt Sheet Writers, if you choose to believe these people, which I don't, you know, they're coming up with the whole, well, he's going to go to NXT. And I'm like, See, here we go. Here's the problem with people and their brain thoughts. Like, this is the problem with human beings and the thing that they have called the brain, which is supposed to be smarter than a CPU, the best CPU we use in the military, on Earth. It's supposed to be, our brains are supposed to be smarter than the best computers that we are able to make. But somehow, wrestling fans have delusionized themselves to, oh, he goes from SmackDown to NXT. That's a step down. It's a down. It's a minor. I hate saying that, but it is the absolute truth. It is a minor league of the two shows. You can't. When in baseball, have you ever heard like somebody making money like Alex Rodriguez? Right, I'm gonna get $300 million. Oh, but I want my pay grade to go down and go to the New York. The Brooklyn Cyclones, or something like that. Like, let me go to the New York Thunder. It's like, no, that's not what you do. That's pimping backwards. That's going back. That's going back to a square. No, go to Raw or go to AEW. You can't. No, it don't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
I was thinking about this. I think we are now on the same page here. Like, if he goes to Raw, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be doing the same loser stuff, right? So, obviously, if he's a top guy, right?
Yeah.
Even though you want to put people over, quote unquote,
yeah,
that means you have to fight Bobby Lashley.
Right.
Bobby Lashley is going to dominate this dude. Like, he's been dominated by him. So, what's the point of getting dominated by Roman Reigns and then going to fight Bobby Lashley? I think he'll be good at NXT because he can have those five-star matches that he wants. He can fight Ciampa. He can fight Johnny Gargano.
I guess.
Karrion Kross. So there could be some dream matches there. And then, you know, he says he wants to help the kids out, even though they're grown men, but he wants to help the kids out. So if you really want to help them out, maybe go down to developmental, and then still have those five-star matches. So I don't know, man.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from and where some people are coming from. Like, he can go down there and he can help out, you know, the kids and everything like that. I get it. But then you have to just go, did we just have to make a quick distinction between Daniel Bryan and just say that, well, at this particular moment, he's not a star then. Like, he's not really a superstar then, you know. If you don't have the desire to win one of the big belts, then you're not really a superstar. Okay, you go down there, you have, good matches with them. One thing about Daniel Bryan, I would say, in terms of why I like him more than these other small vanilla midgets, is because the thing about Daniel Bryan that I like is that he doesn't really wrestle like a small guy. Like, he don't do all the stupid crap that I see small guys doing. Like, he really, like, wrestles like a real wrestler. Like, he's normal. Like, he will pick somebody up, throw them down, like, some normal stuff. I mean, he does the kicks and everything, but not to the extent that everybody else does it.
That's quality kicks. He doesn't do, like, the super kicks. He do, like, the leg kicks, like legit kick your leg.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't do – the only high fly thing, I mean, everybody does a Sope, Suicida, whatever the hell.
Everybody does that.
And I think he limited his headbutts off the top rope. But other than that, I mean, he's a sneaky 215. Did you know that?
He's a strong 215.
He's a strong 215.
I figure that because, like I said, I know he's small and everything, but when I watch him wrestle, I see him pick up people pretty easily. Like, he doesn't really struggle that much when he's picking up, like, these larger-than-life guys. I mean, I feel like he kind of – it's going to be, I don't want to say too much about this person because it might be controversial, but he kind of reminds me of Chris Benoit a little bit. In terms of, like, Chris Benoit was small, but that dude was strong as an ox.
Chris Benoit's physique was like he looked like somebody who was like 6'5", like built.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's kind of, I mean, Dan Bryan is not as muscular and strong like that, but
no,
he still has a little strength like that, and he still, like Chris Benoit never wrestled doing, I mean, he would jump off the top rope once in a while and headbutt you and do all that stuff, but it was never to the extreme that it is now, like, with these little guys. Like, they want to do moonsaults and backflips and flip out of their seats and, you know.
Too much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Too much.
You know, I'm going to have to go off script here.
Yeah.
I know we didn't want to talk about this.
Okay.
Or we did want to talk about it, but let's go to Kenny Omega. I think that, to me, is probably the bigger story. So, Kenny Omega has won the Impact Championship belt.
Mm-hmm.
So, that makes him, I assume, a Triple Crown winner in a sense?
Well,
not. So, he has what? He has the Impact.
Yes.
He has the AAA.
Yes.
And he has the AEW Championship.
Yes. And technically, with the Impact title, because the Impact title, it was unified by Rich Swann against Moose. But Moose had the TNA heavyweight title, and Rich Swann had the Impact title. So when Rich Swann beat Moose in that last match, he actually had those two belts now. So you can add four. So Kenny's walking around with four belts.
What? Lord Jesus. What's the goal here?
Indie,
what are they trying to do?
This is indie bullcrap.
This reminds me of that little weasel, Austin Aries, the little
that's
weasel.
Exactly who I was thinking about. When I saw all this, I was like, oh, this is Austin Aries all over again. This is Austin Aries. This is you see, the whole thing about having multiple belts and multiple companies is not really a new phenomenon. It's not really. Because there was sometimes when WWE wrestlers or WWF, whatever, they would go to New Japan and they would win like a New Japan belt, but they wouldn't bring it over to the States. It was for you just defending it over there. You're not bringing the title over here. That never happened. Nowadays, nope. Because this nerdy-ass wrestling world that we have now, you could win all these titles and show it off on every TV station that you... It's indie nonsense. And I knew this was going to happen. And I said to myself, when this whole thing happened with the working relationship with AEW and Impact, I said, Impact is going to get nerfed. They're going to get cucked. Whatever the word is that... They're going to get all of that. They're going to get herbed, genocide, all of that. All of that is going to happen to that company. Because while they were doing this long-term booking, nobody thought about Impact Wrestling. And what I mean by that is while they were doing this long-term booking with AEW as a working relationship, everything was just about AEW. AEW won everything. They won the first match that they had with each other. I think it was like a triple, three-man tag team, whatever. It was Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers or whatever they want to call themselves now, and Rich Swann, Moose, and somebody else. They lost that. They lose their, now they're in a company. Now the workers at Impact are in a company where the title is held by somebody that's under contract with AEW, who is... Your competitor, they are your competitor. Now, either they're not or they are. Either they bought your country, your company, or they didn't. Now, if they bought your company, fine. But if they didn't, this is really silly. This is really silly. And this is what wrestling has come down to, man. It's come down to some silliness. It's come down to, you know, Kenny Omega. Oh, wow, isn't it cool? He's working around with four belts. I'm like, not really. Because in all these companies, they're walking around with a person who's not signed to them, AAA. He's not signed to AAA. He just does appearances for them. But he got one of their titles. What kind of nonsense is that? You see, this reminds me, this is why I say, man, Vince McMahon was absolutely right. When he saw that sharpshooter on Brett, ring the bell. Because he's not walking out without title. Ring that bell.
Right. Smart. Vince is smart.
Vince McMahon will always be right for that. Always. 100. And Vince, you know why? And you know another thing? Because when it comes to that title, you know, people think it's a joke. It's nothing to play with these titles, because let me tell you something. Ric Flair, you know why Vince did that to Bret? Vince did that to Bret because in 91, 92, Ric Flair came to WWF with the goddamn WCW title, the big gold around his waist. And why did he do that? Because, I don't know, he had some type of money insurance on it or something like that. It was something. He had money on it. They couldn't take that belt from him, WCW. They had to make a new one for the time being. And then they got it back. So people think the belts are just a joke. They really ain't. Like, and I don't know. I think Kenny and these guys, they're taking, you know, they're doing what they're doing. I guess this is helping them. I don't know how, but.
Well, this is, for me, definitely not helping them, because, I mean, this is what, AEW's third week going unopposed to NXT. And last week, they got 1.1 million followers. Not followers. They got 1.1 million views. Yeah. Now they got 889,000 views. To me, you're losing off this right now. So this reminds me of a billionaire's son who's a supermarket, who has all this money. He's living out his fantasy. You see him in the audience. He's like, yeah, you got it. And I'm thinking, bro, what are you doing? You look like a fool. You have this guy win a belt. Look, I don't know anything about AAA. I have no idea who wrestles at AAA. The average fan doesn't care about a AAA belt. No. The average fan doesn't even care about Impact belt, because Impact had 100,000 viewership last week? So I mean, nobody's winning.
Yeah.
Everybody's viewership is going down.
It's shaky.
It's a lose-lose.
Yeah.
And this is a business. Like, do I have to remind these people that this is a business? Literally, this is not your competition. Like, right. Your goal, because I thought this was supposed to be AEW is supposed to be a sports oriented kind of wrestling style, which that's not. That's been thrown out the window. You're supposed to give your young stars a chance, because even when they went to WWE, they never got a shot. So you're giving all these people a shot. So how are you giving people shots when you have people from, I'm assuming people from AAA is going to come. You have people from Impact coming. You have random whorehouse and all these other people coming in randomly. So this doesn't seem like a well-oiled machine.
No.
This seems like something that's going to fail.
It is. It's going
to. And I don't know when contracts up, but I don't see TNT. And did you hear about the other thing though? Because USA didn't get the hockey, they didn't get the hockey contract. Right, they didn't want it. You heard TNT is going for the hockey contract.
I heard about this.
Now you're looking at, okay, they're gonna be those board members are gonna be on their ass. Because if you don't have a good product, they're gonna ship you out.
Right.
They'll do it for hockey. I'm pretty sure hockey will get more views than that.
Yeah.
So
the interesting thing about that is, you know, USA, like you said, they thought they was gonna have that, but you know, it didn't go to them. It went to TNA. TNT. And so there are chances, there is a chance that AEW might even move off of Wednesday. There's a chance that they might get preempted. They might, because some games, they might have a game that's on and they can only show it on a Wednesday, this game. So they have to postpone or preempt Dynamite to either another day or another time slot throughout that week. And that could happen gradually a bunch of times over the course of the contract. So we'll see. We'll see how everything. What if they have to move to Thursdays, you know?
What if NXT moves back to Wednesday?
Right. See, it's a lot of interesting questions that can happen, man. But in terms of the ratings, though, you hit around the nail, man. You know, the first week they got that 1.2, then they got the 1.1, and then now they're back to with it. You know, 800,000. And that's pretty much where they're going to probably be. I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't see like I was watching some of AEW, you know, this week, you know, of course, because we do this podcast. So I'm watching it and I'm like, it's kind of getting stale. Some of this stuff is, I mean, like, I'm a little over it. You know, I don't know what they have to do, but it's starting to, I can see why people are starting to go, I don't feel like watching this right now. It's starting to get stale. It's not just Raw no more. It's a lot of these shows now. They're starting.
Honestly, they look like, so Raw's on like rinse and repeat. You're gonna get the same matches all the time. They may mix it up a little bit, but you Raw the same thing. SmackDown, they kind of do a better job. And NXT to me is the only place that actually switches up like every match. Like, and but they're just, NXT is just boring. That's the only problem. They're just absolutely boring. It puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
AEW to me is the same thing as Raw, but they're more exciting. Like they will actually like kind of switch it up, but it's the same formula every single week. That's gonna hurt them.
Yeah, it's either they open up with a tag team match, or you know, it's just in the tag team.
Speaking of tag team, if I'm gonna go off something that I liked from AEW, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to say this.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks right now are I'm liking them.
Well,
now I'm not liking them in the ring.
No,
but I like the way they're trolling right now. Because people are like, what are they wearing?
I know,
like, those sneakers. Those are horrible sneakers. And now it's getting worse.
Yeah.
They're like doing it even worse. They're getting more cockier. They had the streams for the entrance. They had like the, after they won the match, they had like a cold compress on them. I'm digging their heel, right? I'm digging them as a heel right now, but they're like a weasel kind of heel.
Well, the whole thing is, this was my whole point about them when they came to AEW. This was my whole point. My whole point is, that's what they are. They are heels. That was always my whole point. These guys, they're annoying. They're heels. But you try to get them, they take them over here to this company, and now they're all of a sudden these good guys. I'm like, when I used to watch these guys in New Japan, which I really don't enjoy New Japan like that, but I had to just watch it sometimes.
Yeah.
They were heels. That's what the whole thing, the Bullet Club crap, and people that don't really know the real story behind this, the Bullet Club, the idea behind the Bullet Club, and that's why it's corny now because everything is washed down. But the idea of the Bullet Club and what they were in was these were foreign wrestlers, wrestlers that came from the United States, England. They were foreign and they wasn't getting the opportunity that they felt like they should. So they formed a club together. You know, first was Prince Devin, who was Finn Balor. They formed a club so that they were like the outsiders. That was their whole thing. They were down with the standard way over there. They were trying to be outsiders. So that's why everybody that's in the Bullet Club, they are heels. They're normal heels. Prince Devin, AJ Styles, Kenny, Adam Cole, Adam Page, and the Young Bucks as well. They are slimy. This is their... They're bred from being slimy characters. So when they're playing these characters, it's okay for me. I actually think it's better when they're doing this heel thing. It's just when it was the good guy thing, I was like, first of all, their wrestling gets on my nerves. But now they're trying to be also good too. It's like, oh, I can't take two of these things now. Either you're going to give me that stupid wrestling that you do and just be heels, which that's what you naturally are, from the Bullet Club and all that stuff, or, you know, just wrestle a different way. And they ain't gonna do that. So just be heels. And I see why you like them, because that's what they naturally are. Annoying ass, two annoying ass kids from Rancho Chocomanga. They're just annoying. And you love it. And I see why. And I can see why. Like, that's what they are.
And there was two other things that I kind of like made me think, like, this is why the ratings are going to go to 700,000 next week. So I think I was texting you guys on Wednesday when this happened, when Pockets was going against Pentagon Jr. Or El Zero Miedo,
whatever his new name is.
So whatever his new name is, and he said that this guy, Pockets, Orange Cassidy, is the number two ranked wrestler in AEW. So you got a guy who puts his hands in his pockets, who is, his character is lazy. He doesn't care. He doesn't try. And he's the second best singles competitor in your company. What is that saying about your company?
I mean,
literally.
It's saying a lot, man.
Out of everybody, like Adam Page, you have all these. Like even who has the TNT championship? But Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, Will Hobbs. You have all these stud dudes, and he is number two.
You know what's funny about AEW? Yeah, I think that's just, you know, what can I say about that? It just doesn't make any sense. He's number two. Yeah, he's number two. All right. When I flushed the toilet. Yeah, that's the number two that he is. But this is their problem, man. You know, the funny thing about you saying that is AEW swears up and down, and everybody that defends AEW swears up and down that they have a big roster. Like, we got all these wrestlers. I'm like, I only see the same five motherfreakers every night. Like, I don't know what y'all talking about, this big roster that you have. Your roster's so big that, you know, you got somebody with pockets in his hand talking about he's the number two contender for your world heavyweight title, which, you know, world heavyweight titles was held by people like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Sting, Lex Luger, Vader, Flair.
You know what I just thought about?
Rock.
I have to cut you off. Yeah. I gotta cut you off. You know what I just thought about? Who's number one? Adam Page?
I feel like it is, because I don't feel like he's ever lost this year so far.
But he just lost to...
I'm about to say, but he just did lose to Brian Cage.
He just lost to Cage. So does that mean that Pockets now is your number one ranked fighter? So it's going to be Kenny Omega versus Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, let's get a pay-per-view for that.
Are you serious? They expect me to buy a $70 pay-per-view? So that's their headliner?
Let's get a double or nothing on that one. Yeah. Let's watch that. I'm not watching that crap. I'm not watching that. I'm not watching the Pockets. He's a comedy wrestler. That's what he is. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I always say wrestling is the home of the jobbers. So it ain't nothing wrong with being a jobber, but that's what you are. You just got to know what you are. I have no problem with jobbers. Jobbers, what the hell? You need them. But you can't give me a jobber and try to act like this guy holding his hands in his pockets is going to beat your world champion. Your world champion. No, it's not. But you know what's funny, Corey? This is what this is what they want. This is what the IWC want, the internet wrestling community. They really want this. And this is what those dirt sheet writers that I ethered last week, this is what they want. This is what they want. They want. A 170-pound guy who puts his hands in his pockets to walk around as the world champion of a company. This is what they want. They're going to get what they want. And a Raider's going to go, boom.
It's already happening. Him and Jericho. That was like technically one of the lowest rating segments they had in history.
Yeah.
So, and then before we go to the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, there's one more thing that kind of threw me. So it was Darby Allin versus, what's his name, 10? Number 10?
Yes.
From the Dark Order. So I'm not going to say anything too controversial here. I want to walk a fine line here. So they kind of dedicated that match to Brody Lee in a sense, right? Where Brody Lee picked out 10 to be the next champion.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, you got to let this guy win because there was no reason to have this match. So you're playing on this you know, kind of the heartstrings of your younger like viewers, mm-hmm. thinking like, okay, this guy is going to win the belt and it could be a nice celebration, a nice tribute to Brody.
Yeah.
But then he loses.
Yeah.
So I what was the point of that?
And listen, I don't know. I don't, but once again, it's Tony Khan, man. This guy's so markish, man. It's not even funny. Like I don't really have much to say about him because he's such a fool that is like, it's hard for me to go at him because I feel bad when I go at him. Cause even as a heel, I feel bad because it's like he don't know no better. He really don't know no better. Like he be listening to Dirt Sheet Riders. He be he probably got people on speed dial, like Mesa and all those idiots. Like, did you see my new guy? Could you write something good about him?
Because they're all getting paid. I don't care. I know they said they're not getting paid. They're definitely getting paid because they shit on WWE any chance to get. But AEW can never do any wrong.
Can never do any wrong, man. I don't want to get on those guys. I done ethered them enough. I've ethered them enough. And if people still want to listen to them, fine. But yeah, he's too markish. Watching these AEW not AEW, I'm sorry. These A&E specials about WWE wrestlers nowadays. This stuff is making me appreciate Vince McMahon more and more every time I see him. Like the stuff that he was going through and the stuff that he had to do for that company. All right, he is blood, sweat, tears, and years in that company, all right? You don't just get to come in here, Tony Khan, and think that you can be somebody like him, because you can't. You never will be.
It's not even close.
Okay, I don't care if they, I don't give a crap about them telling you that you're the Booker of the Year or whatever the hell they told you was. You would never, ever, 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 ever be as good as Vince McMahon. Okay?
The GOAT.
All right? And that's why I always say that, because I'm tired of the Vince McMahon slander. I'm tired of it. It is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, everybody just talking so bad. I'm like, 90% of you guys wouldn't even be wrestling fans if it wasn't for this guy. Like, would you just stop your lies about him? Stop it. I'm sure he's an asshole sometimes, but just stop all the he's just the devil. Stop that. All right, he's a businessman, and Tony Khan can learn a lot from him, all right, on how to run business instead of running marks in the damn, the marks have entered the ring, the marks have entered the executive board, the marks have entered the audience, the marks are everywhere in wrestling.
Oh, well, speaking of marks, who you got, Pinnacle or the Inner Circle in the Blood and Guts match next week?
It is interesting that they have decided that this is going to be the only match. We are not having no other matches that night. So the reason I find it interesting, I'm like, so you're going to have to do something called writing
for 2 match.
Hours. Yeah.
One match.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So there's going to have to be some writers going on here today. I mean, because how are you going to get me to stay for 2 hours to watch one match? Unless it's and God hope it's not, an hour and 50-minute match, which I don't doubt they would do because, like we said, the marks have entered the damn executive boards. So I don't put this past them that they would go, oh, let's have a 2-hour match. Freaking idiot.
What's the setup for that? Is it like, so it's kind of like a war game situation where you have like one guy start and the other guy comes in, and then whoever has the man advantage, whoever gets the man advantage with the pinnacle will have the man advantage. They get the next person to come in. But is it like a two rings in a cage?
I think it is. I think because all the details, either.
So it's
either
war games.
Yeah.
It's war games.
Well, okay. But you know what that is. That's because, you know, Cody swears everything that his father did, he should be able to take. well, my father created War Games, so why can't I take it? Because your father was working for WWE. That's why you can't just take it, freaking moron.
You can't do it.
Yeah, so I don't know how the setup is, but I know it's something like that. It's, yeah, there's two rings. Maybe this time the cage will be, maybe they will have it like the old school way they had it in the 90s, where the cage was fully covered on the top too. Like the way they have it now, they have it open now, but the cage used to be enclosed. So maybe that's going to be the difference. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll see. You know what's funny about this War Games? I have a pop quiz about this fake ass War Games they have right now. Who is the only guy still wrestling today that participated in the original War Games? Dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. I would probably have to say, since he's old as hell, Dustin Rhodes.
Incorrect. Correct answer, Sting.
Oh, Sting. Dang, the guy who is in every single like oh my god, every single show every week.
Yeah,
Sting is there.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
If people want to know how old he is, I've said this is how old he is. He competed in the first War Games. It's people that Frankie was even born.
Oh my god.
So, you know, that you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, just a little pop quiz right there.
who do you have winning?
I think it would just make sense if the Pinnacle won, but I just because I'm like, they're new and you don't want to retribution them. That's the term now, because, you know, retribution
or retribution
in the scene, and they just got annihilated. So you don't want to retribution them, but at the same time, you know, Chris Jericho has so much pull in that company. I can see him just saying, I want our team to win, and they're just going, okay, you're Chris Jericho, fine. So
honestly, I can see that, because didn't MJF last time he fought had his head in the toilet,
right?
So I mean, it would make sense booking wise that you would have the Pinnacle go over, but I,
because it's so new.
It's so new, but it might be a WWE thing where t-shirts sell, and if your t-shirt starts selling, then your group stays together. I wouldn't buy a Pinnacle shirt, but I could see people buying an Inner Circle shirt if you're going by that.
Right. And sometimes you have to go by stuff like that sometimes, because as you said in the beginning of this, you know, podcast, it is a business, you know, so sometimes you just got to go with the business way of looking at stuff. So it could be, that could be a situation like that because of t-shirt sales and stuff like that. But still, at the end of the day, this is a tough one. I just think they should let the Pinnacle win, because like I said, you. But then again, it will be. I feel like they might let Inner Circle win only because Chris Jericho is just, you know, playing politics backstage. You know, oh, I want to win because, you know, I just want a big win. It could be something like that. And my group has been out longer, and we've held down. I'm about to say WCW, and we held down AEW for a long time.
Same thing.
No, don't disrespect WCW. Okay, I saw real stars at WCW, right? Okay, Goldberg.
Not WCW, like that time, like the back end of WCW.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You're right. But yeah, so I'm gonna just say the Pinnacle, just because they're new.
I'll go Pinnacle as well. I'll go Pinnacle as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's switching gears. There's a topic here that I actually did want to discuss. So Mick Foley on a tweet said that WWE needs to start their own women's show before AEW does.
Right.
And he CC'd Vince McMahon. So to me, this hit me, because not hit me hard, like I'm thinking about it like in my sleep, but to me, what's up with these old dudes who are trying to bash Vince, who sees a mark, who could give him a nice payday? because there is no way in hell, and I've advocated for women's wrestling for a while. I've been said that WWE has the best women's roster. And I said the women are better than the men in a total, because every woman has a distinct character, right? Like you could tell a Toni Storm from a, Toni Storm from a Sasha Banks to a Bayley. Everybody's different. Yeah,
you could tell a Toni Storm from anybody else. You just got to turn around, you know?
Yes, you definitely can. So you can tell all these people. But the men, you know, like Adam, no, there's no disrespect to Adam Cole, but like the Undisputed Era, you know, all those dudes are kind of the same.
Like the same, bro. I've been saying that for years. they all look
alike. So for me, how can Mick Foley say that AEW can even do something like that when they don't put their women in the forefront? Like, they had a women's match. I think it was Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, who I think Britt Baker is amazing, and I think she should have the belt.
I agree.
Already.
Agree.
So you're not having good booking right there. You have a kind of a blood, and I'm going to use this word again. You had a blood and guts match for the main event, the first women's main event. So that's telling me you're not giving them any confidence that they can have a regular match to end your show, but you have to have them do a hardcore match. So you're not giving them any kind of like confidence there. So to me, you're not showcasing your women the way they should, and you're not booking them the way they should. So where does Mick Foley come off saying that?
Once again, Mick Foley, like you said, with a lot of these older wrestlers now, I don't know what's getting into them. Like, I don't know, it's something in the water, something drinking, but they all of them now are experts on something. Oh, Vince, you should do this because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I think to get to the heart of the matter, it's like, he's saying that they should have an all-female show. I believe that's what he's trying to say, like an all-female brand of WWE. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they had a pay-per-view a couple of years ago called Evolution or something like that, where it was an all-female pay-per-view, all the women wrestlers. Okay, was it that successful? People don't like to talk about it, but the truth was, it wasn't that successful. Okay, it was cool. I liked it. I didn't have no problem with it. I enjoyed the.
Was that in Long Island?
It was in Long Island. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I enjoyed the Becky Lynch Charlotte Flair match. I remember. I did like that match, but they tried it, and those were the two hottest women at the time, and that couldn't even really get over that much. So it's like, you know. And how does Mick Foley, why does he assume that Vince and the company is not trying to do this anyway? You see, this is the problem I have with these people that just like the bash on Vince. It's like, do you absolutely know that he's not trying to do this? Maybe he's trying to do this. Why don't you give him some time? Okay, it's like the whole Saudi Arabia thing. That thing pissed me off the most out of anything in almost anything in wrestling, because the first time they went over there, the women couldn't wrestle, right? And Vince was like, all right, let's just do the show anyway. We know the women can, and we know they are an important factor in what we do. When they came back, all right, so Vince got criticized for that hardcore by every goddamn internet writer and nerd. Hardcore said, oh, he's sexist, he's this. What they don't tell you, and this is why I say fake news is rampant, what they don't tell you is that the next time they went over there, they had the first female wrestling match between Natalya and Lacey Evans. Yep. It's the first time that ever happened, and the fans loved it. They gave them a standing ovation, but they don't talk about that part when it comes to, you didn't hear them saying much about that. But they will get on the neck. They will get on the negative side of Vince. Oh, he's sexist and everything. But they won't talk about how they were able to get that country to let that country that has Sharia law. They were able to get them to let two women wrestle the next time they got there. See, sometimes you have to fail, and when you fail, it helps you be better. so you can try another strategy to get them to wrestle. But nobody talks about that part. And that's always my thing. And that's what I'm saying about what Mick Foley is saying right now. How do you know Vince is not trying? How do you know? Are you in the boardrooms? Huh, Mick? They gave you a job in the boardrooms one time. You didn't want it.
Are you not a job in the board? What the hell are they going to give you?
An executive position at one point. He didn't want it. That's what I'm saying. You can't, wow. You can't always ask for change. And when you have the opportunity to be in the boardroom to change stuff, you decide you ain't want to do it. It's like when people say, you know, I'm not going to vote this year. Well, then don't complain when things go haywire. Just take your L's. I think WWE is trying to encourage their women. They're not doing the greatest job right now. Right now it's looking kind of rough. But I feel like they've always tried to incorporate women as fairly as they can. I mean, look at this last WrestleMania. I mean, the last match first night was for the women's title. That don't even happen. Happened to AEW?
No.
Okay, then.
And I think the evolution is like a perfect word, right? So you go from like bikini contest to mud wrestling.
Right.
And lingerie matches, and then when you and a lot of those, let me not disrespect, a lot of those women say they couldn't go because a lot of those women could go, like Miss Jackie and all the other, like Trish Stratus and Lita, they could all go. Not disrespect them, say they couldn't go, but that was the era that they were put in. But then when you have this next era where you can't deny them, you can't deny a Charlotte Flair, you can't deny a I'm going to kind of skip the Bella era because I wasn't really sold on it. But I mean, when you got the Charlotte Flairs, you know, you got Becky Lynch, you got Sasha Banks, you got the Baileys. I mean, you got to give them a chance. And WWE has done that. And I would love for them to get their own show. But like you actually woke me up for a second because it all comes down to revenue, right? At the end of the day, it comes down to money. Yeah. So when they start touring, I think you give them a chance, but could they put up that revenue, right? And the problem would be on pay-per-views, right? So now, do you separate them completely? And then what's going to happen to pay-per-views? Do they get their own pay-per-view? Are they going to have a certain amount of matches on the like a Backlash? Then what happens to WrestleMania?
Right.
It's going to be tough.
That's what I'm saying. Like, The problem is, and I know people don't want to say this, and it's not that women can't wrestle or nothing like that. They can wrestle. They're good. But the problem is, it's just as simple as this. They don't really have the lineage, the history of wrestling like the men do. It's just that simple. When people see wrestlers, they're thinking of men. First thing that's on a wrestler, or Hulk Hogan, you know, they're just, it's just a normal thing for us to see it in that type of a lens. But what they can do, what they should do is have them wrestle alongside, not with men, but you know, on shows with men, because, you know, that's the only way they're able to capture the wrestling audience, which is mostly guys for the most part. You know, because this kind of reminds me of like the WNBA question that I almost did a podcast about that with somebody. I did do a podcast with somebody about the WNBA and them wanting to get paid like the men. And I'm like, I could just end the conversation now and say no, because you don't bring the revenue that the men do. So you just can't get paid like them. But, you know, I try to break it down more friendly, because I understand the frustration that they have. I understand the frustration that a WWE women's wrestler has when they come into wrestling, because they only have one title. Really, it's only one title, so there's only one real storyline that can go on. Who can get that one title? They're trying to do the tag team thing, but I don't think it's working that well. So they only have one title. With the men, how many titles do men have? Men have, you know, US title, Intercontinental title, the TNT title now. I'm just thinking both companies. Yeah, both companies.
Universal. Yeah.
So it's two tag teams. So they have more storylines that they could come up with the men. With the women, I understand it's kind of a struggle because they only have that one belt in each company. So at the end of the day, I just think what needs to happen is, well, one, I always thought they should have a secondary belt. I always thought they should have something else that they're fighting for. Because, like I said, you have a roster with a lot of women and they're just trying to get that one belt. And that's not how wrestling works. Wrestling works your year, like you get a year with a belt and then, you know, you lose. You get a year, you lose. So it's only going to be that champion for like that. It's only going to be like two champions in 1 year. That's how I feel. Like, so, you know, Naomi don't have a damn chance in hell. Taya don't have a chance. Tamia don't have a chance. You know, it's so many. Mandy Rose. No, they don't have chances. But that's.
You know what's funny? You mentioned Mandy. There is nothing wrong with Mandy Rose.
No.
Mandy Rose to me seems like the prototypical woman that Vince would love.
I think so.
But she actually got really good in the ring. So I don't know. She's not like the best technical wrestler, but she's really good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't see why he wouldn't push her a little bit more, because I feel like, you know, she's good at wrestling. She looks good. I don't see why he wouldn't push her more. He's pushing these other women, you know, Shayna Baszler and whatever. But, yeah, that's the problem. The problem is it's all about revenue, man. And that's why I say I like to take my emotions out of stuff. And I just like to look at numbers and facts. And that's what I do all the time. I look at numbers and facts and statistics. And it's just a revenue thing, man. It's nothing against the women. And can they perform? Can they not perform? Like I always say, all these wrestlers can do the moves. They all are good at doing the moves. It's just that they suck sometimes at their personalities. That's really where it just boils down to. They just suck at that, you know? And a lot of them is in NXT. I'm sorry to say a lot of these guys are suck with personalities in NXT. We got a moron in NXT now. This guy, he's wearing gold teeth, thinking he's a rapper now. At first, he was he was just a black luchador. Now he thinks he's a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just... I think his name Isaiah Swerve Scott, whatever his name is.
Oh, Swerve Scott.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Swerve, you know, Scott. It's just they're trying so hard. They're desperate. Now they got a rapper. Now they made him into a rapper. They're so these personalities. They're so desperate to get some type of characters in these people that they're just making up stuff now. Like, oh, what we got now? He's got dreadlocks. Put some gold teeth in his mouth. Call him a rapper. We saw a rapper, we called him Lil Uzi Vert. We saw him and we think he could be like him.
and it shows you, but like that the women, like when you mentioned revenue, like I'm thinking, what, 2 years ago, it had to be two, three years ago, how much money was Becky Lynch pulling in?
Oh, she's probably pulling in a pretty good
because I was about to buy that hat and the shirt.
Yeah, they did a good job with her.
And it shows like some of these women, they're great. And if you just, I agree with you, they need a second belt.
Yeah.
Because then I think that more characters, people can work on that characters.
Right.
That's all they need.
Because
I agree with you on that.
Because they struggle with the tag team thing. I mean, I know why they were trying to get the tag team so they can give them more things to do. But it's a struggle because tag team wrestling by itself is just dying out. But it's even a bigger struggle when you got women that, you know, usually don't participate in tag team bouts trying to now do a tag team. It's just, why the Iconics was okay.
I love the Iconics. That was a good tag team. Huh. And I'll leave off with this. If I think they should get rid of the tag team belts on the main roster because Shayna and Nia Jax is so boring, right? Nia has personality.
Nia's okay, but Shayna,
she's okay. But they have no personality together, right? So yeah. they have no personality together. Now you have to get Reginald to come in there and be a love interest just to get some pop into it. So get rid of those belts. Have one tag team belt that goes to each brand, which you're supposed to do, instead of having one NXT Women's Championship belt. Like, just have multiple. Right. Like, have those two, have them go all over the place.
No, I agree with you. I'm 100% down with that. Like, just have it go all over the place because, you know, trying to – it's just a struggle, man. It's just a struggle for the women, man. You know, I know they want to be like the men, but it's just a struggle. And I'm not saying they can't wrestle. Like, because I always have to emphasize that because people think, oh, you just hate women wrestling. I'm like, I don't hate women wrestling. Women wrestling is fine with me. It's just – there's not a lot of options going on in women's wrestling. And I don't know who fault that is. It just is what it is. I mean, they don't have secondary belts. They all trying to compete for that one belt, but it just doesn't work a lot for these girls. And that's what makes it looks like that Vince is not trying. But I feel like they are. I feel like AEW is trying to, okay? Like, it's just tough. It's just a tough thing for women in wrestling. It's tough because, like I said, they just don't have secondary belts, which leads to them not being on TV that much.
And you know what? I'm gonna segue from there. We're gonna stick with the women though.
Yeah.
But we're gonna go to Mickie James because she had a good point. I think that there's a lot of ageism between men and women. Do you think she is kind of on the right track here? Do you think older women, well, quote unquote, older women, like, you know, we're talking like upper 30s and to the 40s get treated differently than men?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that Mickie James has an agenda here because she's been very active recently with the trash bag situation. And now she's talking about this. So she's been very active. So I'm taking that off out the side because it looks like she wants her 15 minutes of fame. Because I'm not sure about the trash bag thing, but what do you think about the ageism thing?
Oh well, she definitely writes. When on the women's side, she's dead on because, you know, for women, you know, 25 is old for them, which it shouldn't be. It's not that's not really an old age, but you know, it's just. The youthfulness of a woman is always something that people tend to gravitate and talk about. You know, oh, she looks old, or look at her, look at this. She's older than what you think. So on that, on the women's side, she's dead on, right? You know, women have it tougher. They get discriminated on age-wise more than men. Now, men do too. Men wrestlers, you know, it's some discrimination going on. Every time I have to do this show, Frankie comes on, talks bad about an old school wrestler, which he doesn't understand is that if it wasn't for the old school wrestlers, you know, wrestling wouldn't be popular. he doesn't get that point.
You know, if you look at the way they treat Dustin Rhodes, though. Is it Dustin Rhodes? Yeah, Dustin Rhodes. Like, he's in phenomenal shape right now. Yes, but oh my God, look at Dustin Rhodes. You know, he's in phenomenal shape. He's like an old grizzled veteran. Look at him. But if it was a woman that age, you're kind of like, you know, you don't give her that sort of a compliment that you give the older wrestler.
Because, like I said, with men, when we age, that's seen as I don't know why, but it's seen as sometimes, and I'm talking about regular society, it's seen as somebody with some knowledge. Educated old man. He's distinguished. He's a distinguished old guy, but he's distinguished. You know, even he has a salt and pepper hair. Oh, it's still, you know, he's distinguished, whatever. With a woman, it's just, she's old. she's just 50. Whoa. Why are you still wrestling if you're 50 years old? If you're a woman, like that's what people would say. People were like, whoa, you said she's 40 and she's still wrestling? Whoa. You know, that's a societal thing too. That's just not in wrestling. That's just society in general. Older men are seen as, because you know why? Because older men, and this is what I'm saying. It goes back to societal practices. Older men are usually your boss. They're usually a CEO of a company. They're usually, you know, I was in the Navy. They're usually the chief petty officers. They usually have prestige with them, They have more money when they get older. You know what I mean? It's so many. It's weird because there's so many benefits for older men sometimes. Like, just, you know, oh, he's old, but he's distinguished. Oh, he looks good for his age. You know, like, but with women, oof, it's, she's washed up. She's a wreck. You know, it's a whole bunch of just nonsense that's put on them.
And it's funny because, sorry to cut you off, because she brought up a good point, because now I'm looking at when Shayna Baszler, I know you mentioned Shayna, I know you hate Shayna, and I don't think Shayna's that great. Let me try to rephrase this. As a character, Shayna Baszler is like boring, right? She doesn't have a character. In the ring, she's okay, but I like the way she was presented as like this dominant sort of figure. Like, so when she came up, don't disrespect Brock Lesnar.
I mean, like, that's what they used to say. They both from South Dakota.
That's it. That's the only thing that's she's Brock. But so to me, when she came up to Raw and she damn near, didn't she bite Becky Lynch's neck off? Like, she bit her neck and she was like, she like took a piece of her and she was like bleeding all over the place, right? Was it something like that? So you bit somebody's neck off. And then you lose, and it makes sense to me. And I think there was a report that Vince didn't know how old she was. So I think Shane is in her 40s as well, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you don't have the same confidence in somebody who's older, you know, when they're a woman, than you would with a guy. So I agree with Mickey James here on this one.
No, I mean, I totally agree with it. If you're a woman, yeah, it's age discrimination like crazy. Yeah, Mickey James is right.
So
she's wrong on everything else, all that garbage bag stuff and stuff, but she's right on this one.
Yeah, next week we're going to do a deep dive on that one, because something fishy is going on here, because there's a lot of rumors going around.
Right.
But I want to leave off with this. First, I want to say happy birthday to a good friend of mine, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Like,
The Rock is cooking.
But I had a thought here.
Oh.
I don't think The Rock is on Mount Rushmore of wrestling. I don't even think he's top five.
I know.
And I was thinking about it, and I have a whole new top five. A whole new top five.
It doesn't have The Rock.
And this is no. Like John Cena is there.
Yeah.
Right, I would put Ric Flair there.
Yeah,
I'll put Hogan there. Yep. I'll put Macho Man Randy Savage there.
That's a tough one.
I'll put Shawn Michaels there.
That's tough.
My top five. Because The Rock is the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Like his swag is unmatched, right? But he didn't have that long of a career.
Well, that's the thing. The thing with him and Stone Cold is, like, I love that era, but that era was quick. If you really look at it, it was just like here, and then it just went there. Half of that was because, well, most of it was because Hollywood saw this guy and said, bro, We'll pay you $20 million a movie to just do a movie. And when he saw that, he probably just said, I don't have to take bumps no more. I don't have to do, I'm out. The thing is with The Rock, I see what you're saying. I struggle when I do my top fives sometimes. I always struggle with him, because it's like he's always like somewhere between six and five for me. Like, it's either him or John Cena when I struggle with that list all the time. Like, which one of these guys were better? It's The Rock and Cena. Lately, I've been going with Cena more. I'm like, yeah, Cena.
Cena stayed longer.
That's what I was
going to say. Cena could have had that same Hollywood projection as well. Because Cena's funny.
And also, here's the thing about The Rock. And this goes back to what I always do. I look up numbers. I look up statistics. on people because we lie, newspapers lies, numbers don't. And here's a statistic for you about The Rock. In the 1999 Royal Rumble, which Stone Cold Steve Austin won, the buy rates was pretty high. The numbers was high for that Royal Rumble. The next year, Stone Cold is not in it, the 2000 Royal Rumble. The Rock is the big name, and he's in it, and he wins it. The pay-per-view buys went down 40%. The next year, 2001, Stone Cold enters the Royal Rumble again. He wins it. The buy rates went up 56%. Which means that when Stone Cold was in it, it went up 40%. That's where it leveled off. And then from the previous time he was in the Royal Rumble, and then it went up even 16% more. So that's why I always say Austin's the GOAT, because that those are numbers you can't make up. You can't make that up. But when they gave it all in for The Rock, the numbers did go down a little bit, you know. And I'm not and that's not to say that The Rock was a bad wrestler. Of course he was a great wrestler. He's one of the greatest wrestlers ever. But it just is what it is. The numbers don't lie, you know. And at that time too, we had become skeptical of The Rock, the fans, because they knew that he had started doing these movies now, you know, because at first he wasn't doing movies. But then somewhere around 2000, 2001, you know, he goes into this freaking, what's the movie? The Mummy.
The Mummy. Thing,
which was terrible.
Scorpion, is the Mummy or Scorpion King? Was it one of those two?
He was the Scorpion King in The Mummy, and then they made a movie just Scorpion King.
Okay.
So, but it was, you know, it was horrible, but still, he made the money. And right there, I think that's when the internet wrestling community had just started. Right there, they used to be like, oh, you know, The Rock is just a sellout. He going to leave us anyway. He was like one of the first guys they used to boo because they used to think that he was going to go into Hollywood and leaving the company. So I remember like he had a match in, against Brock Lesnar and Long Island SummerSlam, and they just booed the crap out of him. That whole match, them freaking New Yorkers, they just booed him. Okay.
You can boo me if I know if I'm gonna make some more money.
Yeah,
boo
yeah.
Me all you want. I don't care.
Exactly. So my point is, very basic, is that The Rock just didn't have a lot of time in wrestling to be the number one guy. He only had, I feel like, 2 years to be the number one guy. Because Steve Austin was pretty much the number one guy. So because of that, I put Cena a little higher than The Rock. But The Rock is still unbelievable, great. I can't stress it enough how great his promos were. Like, if somebody was asking me, who can I study in terms of promos and get like that, The Rock would be like high on my list. I'd be like, just look at this guy, watch him, see what he's doing. Don't swagger jack him, but just get a feel of how a promo is supposed to look, you know? Yeah, The Rock is still amazing, though. He's still awesome. Probably not in my top five, but he's still right there, six.
I see how when I watch the A&E, Brian Pillman, is Brian Pillman's going to be on A&E or he's going to be on?
He was on the Dark Side.
That episode appeared? Was it, yeah, did it happen yet?
Yeah.
Don't tell me about it.
It's a part one.
It's part one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch that because I think Brian Pillman might be in my top five.
Oh, that guy, listen, oh man, I wish, see Frankie, young guy, man, he don't know. Brian Pillman was crazy, he was crazy, and I loved every second of it.
Legit.
I love, that's why I love the 90s, because the 90s just had crazy-ass wrestlers like him, Scott Steiner, it was some nuts going on there, but he was the king of the loose cannon nuts, like Brian Pillman. Ooh, that's why when I see his son, I'm just like, man, you don't got it, bro. Like, I'm sorry, but it, I don't want to compare you to your dad because there's no way you could compare to him, but you don't got it, son. Like, you should do something
else. His dad lived that life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they showed it. There is a scene, and when you see the dog son.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm going to watch it a little bit of it tonight.
Just watch it.
On that note, we are finished.
The Heels.
Thank you so much, my man. The Heels.
We have taken over the show.
It probably has to be us too from now on, man. This was entertaining.
The Heels have taken over.
We don't have to deal with a Mark.
No marks allowed.
And a young guy, you know, no marks. You know, this is perfect, man. Let's keep this going.
Let's do it, man.
My man, have a good one.
You too, brother.
Gentlemen. And we are out. Peace. Yes.